In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Trinity Sunday is unlike any other Sunday because the topic of the sermon and the theme of the day is not about a specific event in Scripture, like how Pentecost last week was all about God sending the Holy Spirit to the disciples. It's not even about a specific story or teaching that Jesus had, like the wedding at Cana or the parable about the prodigal son. Instead, Trinity Sunday takes up a topic, a doctrine, if you will, a synthesis of the nature of God revealed in Scripture. We're taught from our youth that we have one God, but he exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God, the Son, that is Jesus, is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Yeah, we don't have three gods, but one God. How can this be? It's incomprehensible and beyond reason. And what makes it even more difficult is that the word Trinity doesn't even appear in Scriptures. So is the doctrine of the Trinity an invention of man? And if so, then do we violate our sola scriptura principle as Lutherans? And why is it so important that it has its own festival day in the church year? This doctrine truly humbles the studied theologian and exalts the simple faith. It humbles the well-read and the untaught alike, the pastor and the congregation alike. It's humbling because no amount of understanding can fully comprehend the triune nature of God. It humbles us to teach us this most important point, that we aren't God, that we're finite, sinful, predictable, and sinful, simple creatures. We can't even begin to understand the nature of the triune God or what he's like. He's all-powerful. He's eternal. He's infinite, all-knowing. He's all-present. Yet he's also loving. He sent his only son to die for you. He confirms this in you by sending you his Holy Spirit. Yet he's incomprehensible because he's from everlasting to everlasting. Even to the most spiritual and learned, God's nature is incomprehensible. For example, St. Augustine of Hippo was one of the most influential theologians on the Christian faith. He was the bishop of North Africa in the 4th century. And one of the works he penned was On the Trinity, which sought to teach the Trinity. Legend has it that while Augustine was working on his book On the Trinity, he went to the seashore to contemplate the mystery of the Trinity. And as he was going along, he came across a child. And the child had dug a hole in the sand. And then he got a seashell and was scooping water from the ocean and putting it into this small hole he had dug. And becoming curious, Augustine asked him, "What are you doing?" The child said that he was scooping all the water from the sea and pouring it into this little hole that he had just dug. And the child replied, or Augustine pointed out that this was impossible, that the sea was too large and the hole too small. There's no way he'd be able to fit all that water in that small little hole. But the child replied, "Yes, but I will soon draw all the water from the sea and empty it into this hole. Then you will succeed in comprehending the mystery of the divine Trinity with your limited understanding." Amazed, Augustine turned away for a moment, and when he looked back, the child was gone. Comprehending how three can be one is impossible. The church has used philosophical distinctions like essence and substance and persons to help explain the Trinity. And the most thorough explanation of the Trinity is the Athanasian Creed, which we confess this morning. But there is nothing that we can point to, an analogy or a metaphor, which encapsulates its teaching without falling into error. But even though the Trinity is incomprehensible, God clearly reveals it to us. As the Creed confesses, we know God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the value believing in and having this name is revealed in the first five words of the Creed. Whoever desires to be saved. That is, whoever desires to be saved must have this name. This rebirth of water and spirit, so that we see God for who he truly is. We know this clearly because his name has saved us. It's etched upon our foreheads and our hearts in our baptismal water. And it's this name that we wake up with each morning, making the sign of the cross over our chest and forehead, putting to death any evil thoughts and desires of our sinful flesh. And with this name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, God raises us to new life in him. Just as the concept of being born again left Nicodemus's reason mystified, leaving him to wonder how he'd enter into his mother's womb a second time, so does the concept of the Trinity mystify reason. Yet this doesn't make the matter untrue. It just makes it an article of faith. We believe the doctrine of the Trinity not because the word Trinity is used in Scripture. We believe it because this doctrine is clearly taught in Scripture. Martin Luther gave a sermon on Trinity Sunday in Wittenberg in 1522, proving in great detail the teachings of the Trinity from Scripture. He utilizes Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. That is, the Father said to Jesus, his Son, sit at my right hand. And that's what we celebrated last week at Ascension. That Jesus sits at the right hand of God. And he also cites Psalm 8 and Ephesians 1 verse 20 and Colossians 2 verses 9 and 10. Luther's point? If God had set this man, who is Jesus, at his right hand and made him Lord over heaven and earth, this Jesus must be God. Because it wouldn't be fitting for a creature to have the power of God. Because God doesn't give his glory to another created being, as he says in Isaiah 48:11. Yet we also ascribe divinity to the Holy Spirit. Because in Matthew 28, verse 19, this is the very name in which we're baptized, in which we're to believe. And also the Holy Spirit was present in Genesis 1, verse 2. Before any creation was even made, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. And the Holy Spirit's work alongside the Father is testified in Psalm 33, verse 6, which says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the Spirit, the Ruach of his mouth. No one but God can create from nothing. And so we ascribe the divinity to the Holy Spirit because of his action at creation. So we can see that the Trinity is clearly taught in Scripture. And so what does this mean for us? Why do we take a Sunday each year to commemorate the Trinity? My seminary professor once asked us a question that stupefied an entire classroom of seminarians. He asked, "Does your life fundamentally change if God wasn't triune? If God wasn't Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet one God, does your life change?" The most frustrating part was that he never gave us an answer, but the assumption was that our answer better be yes, our life would change. Allowing us to ponder that question and come up with a sufficient answer was the best way for us to think through and to arrive at an answer. And so, to follow suit, I won't give you one now. But I urge you to think and discuss with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to find an answer to the question, if God was not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, does your life change? If so, then in what way? Once you arrive at the answer, you understand why the Athanasian Creed concludes, "This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved." So comprehending the one in three and three in one is beyond reason. Yet it defines our very existence as God's children who live under the grace of our Savior's cross. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.